And all we do is come stand around and just sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and mean it. Hallelujah. That's okay. You don't need the numbers. You know it by heart. That's fine. We had a word of prophecy this morning in prayer that God wants us to sanctify ourselves so that we may be vessels that he can fill, receive, we can be able to receive. So let's just take this moment, the beginning of this service right now. You know, that is scriptural. Jesus actually called us to do that. We keep thinking about him sanctifying us and him sanctifying the various things. But remember, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, I think, we're the priesthood of all believers. And it was the priestly role to sanctify things in the temple and to sanctify and set apart things. And so if you're a priest and the temple is you, then you can sanctify yourself. So Father, Lord, at the beginning of this service, Lord, we set ourselves apart for the ministry of the Spirit. Lord, we set ourselves apart, Father God, for the purposes of divine things that you have for us, Lord. We set ourselves apart for to be vessels of honor in your house, O God. We set ourselves apart, Father God, from the things, the cares of this world, the thinking of this world, the ideas of this world, Lord. Sanctify us, Lord, as we set ourselves apart and do our part. Now you, Lord, you do your part of cleansing the vessel. Lord, of removing the things that have crept itself in. Lord, sanctify us now that we have set ourselves apart for you. Lord, that in the worship time, in the time of the Word of God, we may be able to receive to the fullness what the Spirit has for his church today. In Jesus' name.
We have come to meet with you, O God. We can hear you calling. In this place, will you draw near to us? Every heart is calling. Lead us up the mountain, oh God. Lead us up the mountain, oh Lord. High into your presence, where your glory shines, where it shines. Lead us up the mountain, oh God. Lead us up the mountain, oh Lord. High into your presence, where your glory shines, where you shine, where you shine, Lord, where you shine, let shine on us. Oh God, open up the heavens, oh Lord, open up the heavens.
Praise you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just praise you, Lord. Father, we just we want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for all you do and all you are, Lord. Father, we just praise you in this house, Lord. We thank you that you are here with us, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Thank you for coming to meet us here, Lord. We just want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the praise, Lord. All the praise. King of kings, Lord of lords, we praise you.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord.
Love so undeniable, I can hardly.
Oh,
who I am, and you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
need a father. We need to embrace the Father. We need to know that we have a Father. Our circumstances of life are that we feel orphaned, even from God. But I have a message for you today. You have a Father. And He's a good, good Father. Just sing one verse. Let it soak into our spirits today.
Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak.
Of great imperfection. We rejoice, Lord, in your wholeness in the midst of brokenness. We rejoice in your holiness in the midst of sin and darkness. Lord, we rejoice that we have a Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, may we be so confident in this very fact that we may express the Father's heart to others. That through us, Lord, they may know that they can have a Father too. Will neither leave nor abandon nor neglect them in any way. Will neither show favorites, will neither be ashamed or embarrassed, but will embrace them and be with them at all times. Father, we pray, Lord, that the Father heart of God would be upon this church. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor Dan, you might as well just pray.
Yeah, so let's pray for the offering this morning. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing here at Harmony, Lord. The lives that you're touching, the people that you're sending out. Father, I pray that that as we give today, it would be from a heart of just gratitude and thankfulness for all that you have. We go home to warm houses, fridges that are full. We are blessed. So blessed, Lord. I thank you so much, and I pray that we would give back to you just with such gratitude and thankfulness. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the offering plate is being passed around, I'm just going to share a little bit of how I got to what I'm going to share about this morning. Really what happened was, it's kind of interesting because it really, the inspiration for my message came about through me traveling with my mom and dad. Many of you know that my parents traveled and did ministry. They continue to do ministry. But when we were younger, it was more of a full-time basis. It was sometimes 9 to 10 months of the year. We traveled and, you know, they shared the gospel with children and I got to go to church to church to church. And, you know, from the age of 5 till about 16, I visited hundreds of churches. Just hundreds and hundreds of churches. I'm not sure how many, but it was definitely in the hundreds. And as a kid, I wasn't really too concerned about the spiritual state of the churches that I was going to. That wasn't the first thing on my mind was, is this a spiritually alive church or was this a spiritually dead church? I was more concerned about if they had a basketball net or if they had a play structure, you know, things that I could, you know, enjoy or whatever. And yet, throughout my journey as a child and into my teens, I noticed things about churches. That there were churches that were warm and inviting and just, they just seemed like they were alive. There was something alive in that church. And there were other churches that were cold, very, very cold. And, you know, and there was just this contrast. And I never really could pick it. It wasn't any particular denomination. You know, these denominations were warm and alive and these weren't. It was never connected to that necessarily. It always seemed to be different. Yet there was one thing that I saw as something that really made me see a connection between the warmth and the aliveness of a church to a church that was cold. And the connection was that churches that laid hands on one another, that prayed for one another, churches that embraced one another, that those churches seemed more alive. I just saw the connection. Even as a child, I remember thinking, believe it or not, as a young person, I saw the connection that people that put their hands on one another, to pray for one another, to embrace one another, they just seemed more alive. And I made that connection as a kid, but I forgot about it. And it was recently that I came into this thought that what is up with the Bible and the ministry of laying on of hands? Because I saw something in my life experience that there was power in when people laid hands on one another. And I'll share with you a story from my own experience that really drove this home for me. I was a kid and we went to a church and there was a special speaker and he was speaking and he asked all the kids to come up to the front. He said, "Can I have all the children come up?" And there was probably about 15 of us. And we all lined up at the front in a row. And he said, "I want to pray for each kid. I want to lay hands on each kid." So we all lined up. I was about 9th in the row. 9 down. And as he began to pray for these kids, they were dropping. He put his hands on the first kid. He began to pray. Boom. They hit the ground. Second kid, boom, hit the ground. Like one after another, these kids were just dropping. And believe it or not, the thing that was running through my mind was, I feel really sorry for this guy. I feel really sorry because I'm not dropping. You know, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be 8 for 9 when he gets to me because I'm not going down. I don't fall under the, you know, whatever reason, I wasn't swayed by the influence of others. I wasn't going to drop just to make sure that his record was clean, you know, a perfect record. And I really actually had a genuine, you know, I felt, you know, I hope people don't think he's, you know, not this like great minister because not all kids fell. And then he came to me and he laid his hands on me and I dropped like a bag of bricks. I hit the deck and it was, honestly, it was like a wave just crashed over me and just pushed me to the ground. And I can remember the vision that I had to this very day. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember the vision that I had, and it was, I was standing on this beautiful beach, and there was this just beautiful water, but the shore was just filthy, and my sins were all over the shore. And then this wave came and just crashed over the shore and washed all my sins away. And that's all that I could see when I kind of came to. I don't know how long I was out. I don't remember much. I just remember that's all that was running through my head. And I actually remember telling Amy about this years later, and she said, yeah, I didn't drop. She's like, I stood there, and I'm not going down. So he wasn't perfect, but I think that had more to do with her pride than that. But there was something to do with when he laid his hand on me. Something happened, and I remember that impacting me. And through the years, I've seen when people lay hands on one another, something happens. There's this power that seems to just be almost released. And, you know, within charismatic churches, like, the ministry of laying on of hands is big. But honestly, I think that it almost becomes formulaic at times. You know, that it becomes a formula. We say this thing, and then we lay hands on this person, and this is going to happen. So what is the ministry of laying on of hands? What does the Bible reveal to us about this important and what I believe neglected ministry in the church? Well, let me just do a quick survey from the Old Testament to the New in relation to what the Bible teaches about the ministry of laying on of hands. Wow. So what I did a study recently on every reference in the Bible I looked up on laying on of hands. I looked through every verse in the Bible, Old Testament to the New. I wanted to know, what is the Bible saying about laying on of hands? And why? What is it? Is it important? What's going on here? So I did a survey, and what I came to conclude was something pretty profound. And I really encourage you to do this for yourself. Go on BibleGateway.com. Or if you want to go old school, open concordance, yeah. Strong's concordance, and work through it. But you'll notice that almost every reference in the Old Testament to the laying on of hands had this idea of death or wanting to harm somebody. You know, there are references to being set apart, but the majority of the references in the Old Testament to the laying on of hands was connected to wanting to harm somebody. That's kind of where we get this idea, oh, I wish I could put my hands on them. It's not a good thing. Leviticus 1:4 reads this: lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Even in the sacrificial system, there's a symbol that when they laid hands on the animal, it was passing sins into that animal, and that animal was either cast away or it was killed. It was death. And then we move into the New Testament. In every reference to the laying on of hands is about life. It's about healing. It's about blessing. It's about receiving the Holy Spirit. And I think that's so incredible because it speaks to something. It speaks to the fact that Jesus, that he tore the veil. That in the old, the presence of God was something that we could not enter into unless we went through a very strict process. And then even then, there were still barriers. And yet Jesus tore down the dividing wall by giving himself as a sacrifice. And now the presence of God is available to us, that we can come into the throne of grace freely. And now the physical presence of God is available to us. In And something powerful is that when you look at the life of Jesus,
you'd almost be amazed at how much it references
people and even Jesus himself laying hands on people. I mean, people were hungry for Jesus to lay their hands on them.
In a reference in Luke 18, verses 15, it says people were bringing their children just so that Jesus would lay hands on them, that he would bless them.
In Luke 6, verse 19, it says, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. Now some might say, well,
of course people sought to touch Jesus. He was God.
I mean, I don't know if everybody really understood that completely, but it was God. We know that Jesus was God. So of course, when God touched people, yeah, you're being touched by God. I mean, that's of course. But if we read on in Acts, we see over and over again that the ministry of laying upon of hands wasn't just for Jesus, it was for his followers. And it's for us today. Let me read just a passage in Acts 14, verses 3. It says, so they, Paul and Barnabas, remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders
to be done by their hands.
By their hands. And I found it interesting that the NIV actually leaves out, in many, many places, by their hands, or by the hand. You don't find it there, but in other versions, it's very specific, and in the original language, it's there. It's by the hands.
As we read on in the New Testament,
and in the early church, we find a prayer that was prayed by the early church. And let me read for you this prayer, a foundational prayer, a prayer that was integral to the spreading of the good news of the gospel. In Acts 4, verses 29 to 30, and it says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
Isn't it interesting that that Jesus had risen, he'd gone, he was seated at the right hand of the Father, but the prayer of the early church was that he would stretch out his hand to heal. Jesus wasn't on earth anymore, but they're praying that they would stretch out their hand, that he would stretch out his hand to heal. Do you see what's going on here? They are praying that their hand would be Jesus' hand.
That when they laid on their hand upon the sick, that it wouldn't be their hand, that it would be Jesus' hand.
And we can't miss this. We can't miss this truth.
Because, friends, what heals people isn't the hand of Daniel. It's not the hand of Pastor Bruce or that special evangelist or that anointed televangelist. No, friends. It's Jesus' hand that heals.
I never heal anyone. I will never heal anyone. Pastor Bruce will never heal anyone. It's Jesus' hand that heals. It's Jesus' hand that heals. And I find, unfortunately, many people are chasing after that anointed man or woman. You know, this, if I just go there and he touches me, then I might be healed. But what's actually happening, unfortunately, is that people are chasing not after God, but after man. And we need to be very careful. Can there be individuals that are so filled with God that they're overflowing and that you want to be around those people? Absolutely. But friends, can I encourage you, instead of wasting your time and energy and money on chasing after this conference or that individual, get on your knees. Open your closet and get on your knees, because Jesus is there. God is there.
But let me just look at the ministry of the laying on of hands. What is the ministry of the laying on of hands? Because there is an actual very specific ministry that is outlined in the New Testament for the laying on of hands.
You know, I shared a little bit of the survey from the old into the new, shared a little bit about the foundational prayer that the disciples and the followers of Jesus prayed in the early church, that their hands would be Jesus' hands for healing. And that's the first thing that we find here as one of the ministries of the laying on of hands, is that it's for healing. It's prayer for healing. You can find, you know, there's so much here. Really, I could do a 5-sermon series on the 5 different elements for the ministry of the laying on of hands, because there's 5 elements. But I just want to just highlight them for you and then explain some things that I think we need to hear this morning. But the first is for healing. You can find that in Acts. And I'll give you these references. If you want these references, just come to me. I'll just give you my notes. But I got to run through them a little bit, because we'll be here till 2 if I spend a lot of time on them. But the first is for healing, that the ministry of laying on of hands is found in Acts 4:29-30. I've shared that with you. For bringing blessing. Jesus, people brought people to Jesus so that he would just bless them, that he would lay hands on them and bless them. It's for blessing, that we're to lay hands on people for healing, to lay hands on people to bless them. Mark 10:16 for blessing. Acts 8:17 to receive the Holy Spirit. That we're to lay hands on people that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Multiple places you find individuals that received the Holy Spirit when other disciples or other people laid hands on them. The apostle Saul, who became the apostle Paul, received the Holy Spirit when someone laid hands on him. We also lay hands on people that they would receive spiritual gifts. You can find this in 2 Timothy 1:6, or also Acts 19:6. And we're to lay hands on people, kind of finally, for empowering individuals for ministry. In a sense, when we call individuals out away to specific ministry, we're to lay hands on them, we're to commission them. But in the book of Hebrews, so let me just highlight that. I know I rushed through that real quick. But there's kind of 5 things. There's healing, there's blessing, there's receiving of the Holy Spirit, there's receiving spiritual gifts, and then there's empowering people for ministry. There's these 5 elements to the laying on of hands that Scripture reveals to us, the ministry of laying on of hands. So let me just say this. I found this passage in Hebrews 6, and it was almost alarming to me. Let me read it for you. Hebrews 6:1-3, reading from the NLT version. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Isn't that interesting? That he's saying, listen, church, come on, these are the basic things here. Like, these are the fundamentals. Do we really have to go over and over and over these things again and again? You should know these things. And in that list is the laying on of hands. And what I found almost alarming is that I have heard almost nothing about the ministry of laying on of hands. I mean, have you ever heard a sermon on the ministry of laying on of hands or laying on of hands? I haven't heard anything. And I went to Bible school for 5 years. I've been in churches hundreds of times. I listened to lots of podcasts and sermons and things like that, and I've never heard anything. And that's a problem, because this is foundational. This is basic 101 stuff. And really, if you think about it, I mean, it's simple. I mean, when as believers, we should be praying for people that are sick. We should be praying blessings over individuals' lives. We should be praying that when people come to Christ, that they would receive the Holy Spirit. That we should be praying for people that they would receive spiritual gifts. You know, we're praying for people that they would prophesy and that they would speak in tongues, that they'd have words of knowledge. And we should be praying for those that that God is calling up and raising up into ministry, you know, evangelists and missionaries and pastors and elders and teachers. I mean, come on, this is 101, right? This is basic stuff. And I think we do all those things fairly well. I mean, I'm so grateful that Harmony Church, you know, we see those things happen here. But what I think we miss is that Jesus wants to use the hands as the main avenue to release these gifts. Do you catch that? That the ministry of laying on of hands, see, we may do these things, but we might do them almost from a distance. That we don't lay hands on people. You know, when we pray for someone to bless them, oh, God bless, you know, so-and-so. But we don't lay our hands on them. Or we pray, God, would you heal this individual? But we don't lay our hands on them. And, you know, we pray for spiritual gifts. Oh, like I pray that, you know, Carol said that she would prophesy. But I don't lay my hands on her. You know, and some people think, well, it doesn't really matter. Well, I think it does. Because Jesus is instructing us, and if you read these verses, that we're to lay hands on them. That God has, for whatever reason, beyond my human understanding, has chosen the laying on of hands as a way to release these things. You know, do I think that there are reasons? I know there are reasons why God has chosen kind of this means as a way to release those things. I could, you know, theorize with you about what are those reasons. You know, could it be that God is saying to us that he's a physical God? That he's alive today? And that he wants to use the physical touch to release these things as a way to say to the world that he is alive? That he's using a physical tool to remind a world that is oblivious and ignorant to a real God. That he is alive, and he's wanting to use your hands as a way to do that. Is that maybe one of my little theories?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't know. I'll leave that in the mystery of God. But I want to say this. I say this. There is power in your touch. There is power in your hands. Not because they're Daniel's hands, but when you activate your faith, and you say, Jesus, let this be your hand. And you pray for the sick. Power is released. Friends, it's not about Daniel's hands. It's not about Pastor Bruce's hands. It's not about any of your hands. It's about Jesus' hand through you. Because guess what? The Spirit of God is in you. And here's the thing. We get lost in this sometimes. We get lost in this. I've taught this at Harmony before. I've preached this at Harmony. We think, well, yeah, Jesus had this profound ministry because he was God. Jesus was a human. He emptied himself of his divinity. It wasn't Jesus' touch that healed people. It was the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Philippians 2 verses 5-8 says it very clearly. God did not count equality, and he did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus emptied himself of his divine attributes. When Jesus touched somebody and they were healed, it wasn't because Jesus was God. It was because Jesus was fully reliant upon the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit in God healing. So when you touch somebody and you pray for somebody, it's the same Spirit that was in Jesus that's being released over them. Can we just get our faith to a little bit and believe that the Spirit that was in Jesus that raised the dead, he's in us? That when your hand, it reaches out, it's Jesus' hand. It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. There is power in his touch, and through you, there's power in your touch. And I think often, you know, we miss this a little bit. We think almost, you know, well, these hands, these are sinners' hands. And friends, I know that behind closed doors, there are things that you've thought, things that you have done that you are ashamed of. Things that have done by your hands that you're just ashamed of. You know, and I know from my own life, I have thought things and done things that have made me feel just absolutely worthless and disgusting. And I don't want to lay my hands on anybody. And I've withheld at times from ministering to people because these hands. No, God, no. But friends, it's not my hands that heal. It's Jesus' hands. We need to get out of this all woe is me mentality. We need to accept that Jesus has washed us clean. That vision that I had so long ago, that he's washed us clean. And that when you pray for people, envision Jesus' hand, not yours. Because you know that yours is a sinner's hand. But Jesus' hand is a pure hand, a perfect hand. A hand full of faith, ready to heal at any moment. So I want to encourage us at Harmony today. I want to encourage us to be a little bit more full contact. And you know what? I played, John's here. I played hockey with John for a couple of years in men's league. And I actually developed a bit of a reputation, unfortunately not a good one, for being a little bit too physical. In the last game that I played this year, somebody actually said that to me. Oh, we know who you are. I know who you are. Yeah, you're that kind of guy. And I was like, oh, no. I played a little bit on the edge. Not because I was angry or whatever. It's just the competitive fire in me. I just, I can't let that guy get by me without laying my stick on him, you know? So I played with that edge. And I blame Harmony. Because Harmony's a physical contact church. No, I don't think that, but I'm grateful for Harmony. I'm grateful that this is a church that believes in the ministry of laying on of hands. That when people are called and commissioned out, there's hands that are laid on them. When people are here at the front and they want prayer for healing, people lay their hands on them. When people are needing just something in their lives, they're needing blessing, they're needing joy, they're needing something, would you lay your hands on me? Would you pray for me? That's here at Harmony. And I think that I believe that's a reason that Harmony has continued to exist and even thrive and grow. Because the ministry of hands is really, sadly, a foundational thing that many churches miss out on. That we don't lay hands on people. And I've been in churches where it's just cold. You don't touch anybody. You accidentally brush up against somebody and they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to accidentally touch you. You know, like literally, I've been in places like that. And those churches, they die. They die. But churches when you walk in and there's a warm embrace. And when churches when you're in tears and somebody comes up beside you and they just lay their hands on you. Friends, I don't know if you understand, but there's the power of Jesus is being released through your hands. There is power in your touch. But I want to say this. I want to say this because this for me, it ties into even what Pastor Bruce was sharing right before I stepped up here. But we need to release the power. We need to release the power of Jesus because, friends, you hold the power of Jesus. The power of the Spirit of God is in your hands to heal, to bless, to send out that people would receive the Holy Spirit. The power of God is in your hands. And we need to release it because when I look around, friends, I see a world that is broken. A world that is in a cycle of brokenness and pain and devastation. And it's only getting worse. It's not going to get better, friends. It says, I believe that in the end times, in the end world, that God will increase, but so will depravity and so will brokenness. Yes, God is going to move in mighty ways, but so is sin and just devastation and disease and all of these things. And we see it. I read the paper every day. I read the newspaper, open it up to, and story after story after story of hands that are used for violence, hands that are used to tear down and destroy. And the cycle, you know, people ask, like, how could somebody do that? I read a story a while ago where a father strung up his child upside down. His toddler child upside down. And he hung him there as punishment, and he would beat him every time he cried, breaking bones in his little body. And people think, how could somebody do this? How could somebody be so cruel? It's because they weren't loved as a child. They were neglected and they were beaten, so that they just do what they only know what to do. And that cycle continues to exist. And as we move away from a foundation of truth, it's only going to grow. And friends, all around you, there are people that are broken and wounded, and they're in a cycle. And we say, how do we stop it? People, you know, the world's trying to figure it out. How do we stop the violence? How do we stop, you know, all these stories of sexual harassment and children that are being molested and abused and sex trafficking that is exploding and is just becoming more and more rampant all around the world here in Canada. Friends that I know that have been trafficked. I mean, it's just rampant. It's everywhere. What do? Well, we make new laws and maybe we need to give more money to the poor, and maybe that's going to do it. Or maybe we'll, you know, increase policing, or no, decrease policing. More jails. No, less jails. What are we going to do? Nothing's going to do it. Jesus is the one who can take a heart that is broken, that's going to continue a cycle of pain and heal them and stop it in its tracks. Jesus can do it. He's the one. He's the healer. It's not new laws, it's not more money, less money, it's not psychotherapy or counseling. It's Jesus. Jesus can stop the cycle of pain and abuse. But the reality is that we live in a new age. A new time where people don't just go to church because that's what people do. People don't go to church anymore. People don't go to church meetings or evangelistic outreaches. That's not something that really, I mean, 50 years ago, yeah. Gospel meetings and tent meetings and church meetings, and that's what people did. People don't do those things anymore. We've moved away from that. So how are we going to get this Jesus who can break the cycle and pain in their lives and mend a heart that's broken and wounded and longing for something more than their life can give them what it's offered them? It comes through you. It comes through your hands and your mouth. You are to be, we are the church to be the messengers that are sent out, to be disciple makers, to be the voice of Jesus, the hands of Jesus. And I hope that in your workplaces and in your towns and your neighborhoods, that you are laying hands on the sick, that you are laying hands on people, that they would be blessed, that God would bless them, that you're praying for those to receive the Holy Spirit, that it's, and God, catch this, please, catch this. It is, God wants to use your hands as a primary means of the avenue for these things. There is something powerful that happens when you lay hands on somebody and pray for them that they would be healed. That God wants to use your hands. And I remember when I was working in, it was years ago when I was at Boucher working, it was my first job, and a coworker had broken his arm. And I asked, could I pray for him? And he said, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was off on leave. You know, he was leaving the next day. He'd just come in to grab something or whatever. And I said, let me pray for you. So I put my hand on him. I said, can I lay my hands on you? He said, okay. I laid my hands on him. And he had a miraculous recovery. The doctor actually told him, he's like, I can't believe how fast you recovered. It's like almost a miracle. And he came back to me and he said, Daniel, it's when you laid your hand on me. That's what he said to me. He said, when you laid your hand on me, something happened. And I don't even remember what I told him, but I knew who it was. It wasn't my hand. It was Jesus' hand. And friends, I want to encourage you to reach out. To reach out and lay your hands on those around you. And I want to close right now, but I want to say this. If you don't have the courage to lay hands on one another here, you won't have it. The courage to do it out there. So can I get, Debbie, can you come up and you just play a little instrumental? We're going to close like this, okay? We're going to close by just laying hands on one another and praying for one another. And I want you to activate your faith and say, when you pray, envision the hand of Jesus as your hand.